Human Fear got to the point where we had at least like 100 consistent listeners. It's never gonna happen.
It'll happen.
Welcome to episode 140 of the Encore Gamers. I'm Dan.
And I'm Billiam.
And we are here to talk about the game news 2 weeks before E3. Oh boy.
2 weeks, that's it.
2 weeks. Alright, so here's what we got. Here's what we got. Xbox's Netflix-like Game Pass is launching. It's going to have over 100 Xbox One and Xbox 360 games. It's actually launching June 1st. If you're a Gold subscriber, you're probably already checking it out.
Is that kind of like what PlayStation has? Like PlayStation Now, is it called? Or isn't there some service where you...
Yeah. It's PlayStation Now is purely streaming, and it's only like, as far as I understand, only like PlayStation, Xbox 360 or older games, stuff like that. No, yeah, PlayStation 3 or older games. I think mostly PlayStation 3. I'm not sure if they have any newer ones because they don't have a subscription. But this Xbox Game Pass, as far as my understanding is, it's $10 a month, and you can actually download the games. So you don't have to constantly have an internet connection. You can download the game, play it, undownload it.
Nice.
That's actually slightly amazing.
You get a 14-day free trial to try it out. And each month, games will be cycled in and out of the service. So kind of like Netflix does with their shows.
I remember that when the Xbox One came out. No. 360 or One? 360. Okay. Where you could download the games onto the... Mm-hmm. thing, but you still, it would never work for me. I still needed the disc in it. And I think it was just to make the games run faster. So this, I really, like you said, this is amazing. I like this.
It's also because when the Xbox One came out, you had to keep it hooked up to the internet. Which was silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not when they came out, but that's what their plan was.
That was their plan. Yeah.
And then people got mad. And their ad sub revenue probably plummeted and... They saw the PlayStation was doing really well, and they're like, all right.
And there was some funny low blows from the other gaming industries.
Yeah, they got a lot of flack. They got a lot of flack. Speaking of stuff changing in ecosystems, the PlayStation Store now has Steam-like curated playlists. You can go and look at, you know, favorite developers or famous people in the PlayStation life cycle, like Shuhei Yoshida. And you go and click on this thing in the PlayStation Store, and it'll give you... It'll have his recommendations of some games you should check out. So if you're interested in what people in the industry play, you can go check their individual lists to see what type of games they're into and what type of games they like and stuff like that.
So now I need to find the list of all the game developers I like to try to figure out what games they play.
I mean, there's a couple of people already on there. Psyonix has members on there. There's people that Rocket League and stuff like that. So, you know, just kind of goes to show that they don't just make the games. They also play games.
Right. It was weird. The last WWE pay-per-view was brought to you by Rocket League. And I didn't know it was that big.
They were stoked about that. That was that's like their first big marketing push.
San Francisco Opera in the Park is partially brought to you by PlayStation. PlayStation helps fund a lot of the extra activities that happen at AT&T Park in San Francisco.
There we go.
It's really weird.
Yeah. Huh.
Kingdom Hearts 3 and the Final Fantasy VII remake are planned for release in the next 3 years or so.
I thought there was actually a set release date.
Oh, no. Not a single one of these has a set release date. You want to know why? You want to know why?
Yes, I do.
These will have a set release date?
Let me listen.
Because these people are... both of these games were being... or possibly still are. I'm not entirely sure what the internal affairs are. Being developed by the same person that was developing Final Fantasy 15. Or Final Fantasy 13 Versus. It was originally known as...
That's what happened to it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so Final Fantasy 15 came out because they kicked that guy off and had a fixer come in. And like, alright, this game needs to come out, put it together. And that's what happened with Final Fantasy 15. That's why that came out.
Did they ever explain why it was going to be called Versus 13? Like, was it going to have anything to do with Lightning and all that?
I don't know. I haven't heard any stories about that.
Because when they came out, that I thought originally, I remember thinking, oh, it's going to be two parts of the story. You're going to play the second part, kind of like Golden
Sun.
Golden Sun.
Okay, yeah.
And I was stoked, and then it never came out.
Yeah, because as far as I know, there wasn't anybody like Noctis in Final Fantasy 13. So yeah. I was like, what story is this? Like, yeah. Who is this? So, I mean, we do know that Final Fantasy VII's development has shifted to internal setup at Square Enix. It used to be partly being worked on by CyberConnect, which is, I think, they also own. They're the people that did the Doll Hat games.
Ooh, I love those games.
I know, they were so good. Especially, I love the fact that it was, like, the anime straight to the game, straight to another anime.
And they all tied into the same,
yeah.
Same story.
GU kind of sucked, but I'd say that's mostly because the main character sucked.
I liked the games with him, though.
Okay.
Those were fun for gameplay styles, and the fact that, like oh, I kind of suck in the anime. I'm kind of a gigantic douchebag. Here, let me correct all my wrongs in the game, or I can continue being a douchebag depending on you.
I think I also did not like his character design all that much. Like, the weird scorpion tail thing he had.
Yeah.
That was just weird to me. I didn't like it.
And they never fully explained, like, why certain characters get super customizable.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so they explained certain people, like, they were hacks. And, you know, like, Helba and all these others, like, were hacked characters. But for him, for the Terror of Death, they never really said, oh, like he won this tournament, which is how, you know, Balmain got his wings, was the, they did the Azure Sky side quest.
Well, didn't that happen in the anime? Didn't he do, like, a dungeon first before anybody, and that's how he became the...
Is that? Is my memory just that bad?
I think that happened.
Okay. If anyone out there knows,
let us know. It's also around the same time he just became a giant douchebag, so... Yeah. Clearly, it was the armor he picked up. It was cursed. So anyway, so all that CyberConnect stuff, they've taken all of that away, and they're going to do is internally, because they want to have complete control over the quality. AKA, it's probably taking too long. And I think Square is just tired of their games taking too long that everybody wants, because this happens with them time and time again at this point. Again, it seems to be... Because of that guy, they keep giving him projects. I'm like, this seems to be a consistent problem. Like, can you talk to this guy? Because we notice it at this point.
Yeah.
And you don't want that happening. When the general public can notice, like, yeah, this guy keeps getting put on games. And
when we can actually, like, know when it's a specific person, that's when it gets bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Bayonetta 3 is in discussion. Over at Platinum Games. So, I assume there's probably too early for an E3 sizzle reel, but maybe an announcement. A lot of people are speculating it might be under Nintendo maybe Switch.
A walk-on in a t-shirt?
Yeah, I can see that. Platinum Games is Japanese, right? Yeah, a weird, like, Japanese, like, joke thing that doesn't really translate to American audiences. But a lot of people are speculating this might be a Nintendo Switch exclusive again, like Bayonetta 2 was. But that, taking into account that was funded by Nintendo,
yeah.
So whether or not Nintendo's actually funding this one again is really going to dictate whether or not it's an exclusive again.
Yeah.
I think Platinum Game has enough money at this point where they won't have to require Nintendo to fund any new development. We'll see. PlayStation 3.
I remember it well.
The development in Japan has ceased. It is officially a gone console. No more new ones.
God, I should buy... Mine had a true accident. I didn't get angry at it. It actually fell off my desk and now plays weird. I should just buy another one soon.
Now's the time, yeah. Before they're gone in garage sales and...
Yeah.
Into $6,000 on eBay.
Yeah. Here's the thing. It could theoretically get cheaper, too.
Yeah.
But depending on how many people want it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I think the service of PlayStation Now helps curve that. Also, a bunch of people that are on the PlayStation 4 lifecycle came from the 360, so I don't think, I think they've done a good job of porting over most of their big games that, you know, The Last of Us and Nathan Drake Collection,
yeah,
the BioShock Collection and stuff like that. But I don't see there's probably too much of a need for people to jump back on there. Yeah. I mean, Eco and The Last Guardian. I mean, you can probably play most of those games on PlayStation now, too, if you really had an inkling.
And then, like, other countries, like, have, like, the UK has a Beyond Two Souls, Heavy Rain duo, like, thing for the PS4 that I'm going to have Anne bring me.
Yeah, is that a UK thing? Because I remember hearing about that. Yeah, UK and I was only. I was waiting for it.
And for some reason, here's what I don't get. That will play on our PS4s.
Yeah.
Blu-rays, however, are region locked.
Yeah.
Which makes absolutely no sense, because what happens if you move?
Yeah.
I think it has more to do with less the game developers. It probably has more to do with the movie studios themselves. Because I think the DVDs themselves usually will say that they're region locked.
Yeah.
Or the Blu-rays themselves. If you look at Blu-rays, they'll say this is a region.
Which is still, it only plays on region something
systems.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I assume maybe some regions get extra special features or maybe cheaper price gouging.
Because there's a title that I wanted to put on my Christmas watch list. I have certain movies I watch every Christmas, like Die Hard, like Nightmare Before Christmas, things like that. But I wanted to add one that's a British one starring, what's his name? Watson.
Oh, okay. Martin Freeman?
Martin Freeman, thank you. And you can't get it over here. You can buy in the UK.
Can't you, like, a digital purchase?
Nativity. Okay. I haven't found it digital anywhere.
Wow. Yeah. I heard about that one, but it's impossible to find.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even on YouTube, which is, like, my go-to for all things British that don't show up here.
Oh, I'll find it.
There you go.
It might be,
I just don't question where he finds it.
I'm sure most people don't care how I find things. They only care about the end result.
There we go.
I mean, you can get region bypass DVDs and Blu-rays. Granted, I'm sure. Yeah.
If you buy a Blu-ray player from the UK,
that's what I was going to do.
UK DVD Blu-ray bundle.
Then you got to get an adapter for your electrical outlet.
I already have.
That's hard. They sell them in, like, bins by the checkout of, like, Fry's Electronics and such.
Yeah, for American to UK, not the other way around.
No, they have both.
Mm-hmm. Right, well, yeah, that's where I got mine.
Right. Or you just plug it in at the outlet at our church. They've got a UK outlet in the kitchen.
Here.
I don't know why.
Why not?
Speaking of conversions, Monster Hunter Double Cross is coming out for the Switch.
What about...
This is not Monster Hunter Double Cross HD. This is just Monster Hunter Double Cross on the Switch. So, based off the trailer and the announced trailer they showed, it does have a striking resemblance to the 3DS graphically.
Is that what you were watching when I walked in?
That's what you were watching, but that's the Switch version.
Is that...
You can see the jaggies.
Yeah!
Do we have that one?
No, Double Cross would be the update to Generations.
Okay, so we have Generations.
Yeah, we have Generations. Okay. That's what it's called in America. Cross is Generations in America. So, that's cool if you didn't have it on the 3DS, I guess. Or if you wanted to blow up a 3DS game onto your big screen TV.
But, like, shouldn't Capcom at this point just update the graphics? I mean, they've been putting off updating the graphics for forever.
Maybe they will.
Or they're just banking on people buying it anyway.
Oh, people buy it anyway. It literally is a system seller. Games, the PSP was doing okay in Japan. Monster Hunter Frontier came out on it. Started selling 10,000 units. Yeah.
Those games never really exploded over here, did they? I mean,
they did with the Monster Hunter Tri on the Wii. That was the first real big explosion.
Right. Really fun games.
Yeah. It was also when the games became more accessible. It's a dividing timeline between Monster Hunter players, because that's when people that have been playing Monster Hunter since its inception, they look at that game and they go, oh, that's Monster Hunter Easy Mode. Which is true. The game was more difficult. Monsters hit you harder and stuff like that. It was harder to dodge. And, you know, probably partly because limitations of the system itself.
And also because of doing the claw thing.
That was only on the PSP. And the in the original PlayStation 2, all your attacks were on one of the digital analog sticks. Shenmue 3, the crowdfunded Shenmue sequel, will not have any showing at E3. The studio decided they're going to spend all of June in development rather than trying to create a vertical slice for E3.
I do not mind this because they already have my money.
Right.
I fully respect a game company decides to spend more time and money on their game versus public relations.
Yeah, like a game that I have an eye on called Alicia, Hardfort Alicia. It's a like a Castlevania type 2D.
Sounds really familiar.
There's a picture. It's a pretty fun game. I actually got a chance to play it at a PlayStation Experience. Apparently that game was supposed to come out like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it hasn't come out. But they have been doing pretty frequent updates as far as I can tell. But the community is turning very rabid on them at this point. I can understand the game was supposed to come out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I can understand if they were completely silent. And like, okay, well, clearly, you know, this is somebody that ran away with my money. But for a development team that's, like, they do streams every Tuesday, so you can see the progress of the guy building the game and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's not open about the development and stuff like that. I don't understand why you get so mad. Like, clearly he's building the game still. He's working on the game. Yeah. You can see there's progress being made in the game. And games take a long time to make.
Yeah.
You know, people, when they show you at E3 or whatever, like, oh, here's God of War coming out, you know, in a year or two. That game's already been in development for, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, plus they have a team of, like, 100, you know, 200 people working on the game, probably, depending on the size of the game.
There's plenty of games that I'm waiting for to come out that are finally, at this point, showing up on Steam that have been, you know, I've been watching for, like, 3 years now. But on the other hand, it's games made by being made by one person or maybe two people. And I don't mind waiting. I'm patient. I can wait for a game. There's other things to play.
So, I mean, like...
A lot of other things
to play. There's so many other things to play.
It's interesting. It's an interesting dilemma, right? Because we, as a community, as a gamer, we're becoming more and more involved in the actual development of games and, like, what goes into making games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which means the curtain's getting pulled back. We're seeing more of the process, which means we find out about games a lot sooner, especially with leaks on the internet and stuff like that.
I think we find out too early for most games.
We do. I mean, for most games, we do find out too early.
And so people aren't ready for that yet, because they're like, oh, well, I heard about it, so it should be right around the corner.
Nope. Yeah. Oh, well. C'est la vie.
It still looks like an interesting game.
Because it's going to be, like, one of the best games to come out from PlayStation Experience 2016. Chasm is interesting, but it's nowhere near as polished as Hardfort Alicia.
Yonder comes out soon, and it looks amazing.
Yeah, if you like farming simulators. No, it's not a farming simulator.
Open world adventure.
Okay, so it kind of looks like Wind Waker. Except there's no enemies.
Better. No, there's enemies. There's the demo didn't have it.
Well, they should have had it. It would have gotten my interest a little bit more if there was an actual combat mechanic. Instead of just walking around the beautiful landscape, which is nice and all, but I need a little bit more game out of my games. At least Journey had interesting jumping puzzles.
Journey had jumping puzzles. Manifold Gardens coming out soon. A game where you get to mess around with gravity and physics and... It's pretty much looks like a Escher drawings.
Nice.
Except a game. It's amazing.
So, Sonic Mania. August 15th. Woo! So, you don't play popular video games.
I don't
games.
Like Sonic. I've tried it. I don't like it.
You don't like Mario either.
No, I don't like Mario.
Exactly.
I tried Mario. I've tried multiple Marios. I don't like them.
I really like the one you can turn into a cat.
Mario 3D Land?
Yeah.
I like the aesthetic of the Yoshi Woolly World because it reminds me of Little Big Planet. But I haven't played that one, so I don't know if it's good.
Little Big Planet Vita was amazing.
Little Big Planet period is amazing.
No, but the Vita one was knock
it out of
the park.
Little Big Planet 3
wasn't that great. Sumo Giant Games, that's who you have to blame for that one.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because they actually are
a
pretty
it was a good
decent
story.
Developer.
It was a good concept, but the game was short and didn't live up to anything.
I think they added too many other characters.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for Sonic Mania. It looks like Sonic. It looks fun. It's colorful, sprightly. It's just the right amount of attitude. I feel like the recent Sonic games have had too much attitude. But, you know, I like Sonic back in the day when he just kind of like just taps his foot waiting for you to start playing again.
Or he'll point at the side of the screen going, hey, let's go.
Yeah. Supergiant Games. They are the people that made Bastion. Of note, I think they also did, what's that game called? The one where you're like a mute singer with a giant sword.
I remember what you're talking
Transistor.
About.
Transistor. Okay. I'm not 100% sure, but I think they also did Transistor, because I think that was their game after Bastion. Their new game, Pyre, has its release date. Let's see, that is going to come out... What the hell, where's...
Because you lose where you're looking at.
Yeah, there we go. July 25th on both PS4 and PC. I don't know about this one. Everything I've seen about it that has interested me, it's kind of like a sports game.
Hmm.
It's, you control one person out of three people on your team. You have your big brute, your swift person, and your other, I guess, general person. And you're trying to move this ball around while setting up your guys to be in a position where they can block attacks. Basically, like you're playing foosball with one hand. From what I've seen. I haven't actually had a chance to play it. And that's all I've seen, though. I think the entire game is basically that.
I'll wait.
Yeah.
I'll wait, because that's the thing. Unless there's... I really don't pre-order games anymore. Just unless there's something I need to have, like a
steel bookcase.
Or Ni No Kuni 2.
Or, you know, like a statue to put in the room somewhere, or some, like... But even with DLC, pre-release DLC, they'll release it later.
Fancy item, and you're like, yeah, it's a fancy item that works for like the first five levels of my character's growth. Yeah, and it's completely pointless.
And I find this much better thing. Yeah,
I hate that. It's like, oh yeah, I caught Final Fantasy 15. Actually, the DLC items from pre-ordering it, I actually used them for like a good third of the game. Like they were actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they got like outclassed in power, but their side effects were actually pretty decent. That I ended up keeping them for much longer than I probably needed to. I like those. Those are well designed.
Yeah.
But yeah, item DLC pre-orders that always bug me. Like, you can have a different skin. I don't care. I don't see my character.
Yeah.
Most of the time. It's not. It doesn't make me look like a giant, awesome, flaming tiger, so. That was a DLC item. Must buy.
Take note, game developers. Put a giant, make him into a giant flaming tiger, and he will buy your game.
Or a green tiger, like a He-Man tiger. Yeah.
That's a good tiger, yeah.
So when do you want to jump back onto Elder Scrolls Online?
You don't have the working computer, so I can't play with you. Where was I? Far Cry 5's release date has been announced. And it's not coming out this year.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's coming out February 27th.
We'll have to fight all the petitions against it first.
Right. The Far Cry 5 should be canceled because it takes place in America and involves Christian Americans being bad people. It should be Islamic people.
Based on the trailer, I wouldn't call them Christian.
It's basically the Westboro Baptist Church is a bad guy.
Yeah, essentially. Now, apparently this is a thing, change.org, whatever. Changethis.org, whatever the site's called, where people petition things like changing the ending to Mass Effect 3. And apparently this petition is a tongue-in-cheek kind of fake petition, but apparently it's getting a lot of traction in people that are taking it 100% seriously. And It's a funny read, and as if anything you do on the internet is really going to matter to a development company that's already spent all this time developing this game. It's not. What do? They throw a shader on the characters to make him look not white?
Oh, it's okay. This guy's brown. I could fire him. That's much better than some upstanding citizen.
I was noticing, actually, I saw this little, like, a blurred video about this guy that brought up an interesting point. He said, like, hey, video game makers, movie makers, stuff like that, like, animation people, like, when you make a character evil, can you stop changing their skin tone darker? Like Evil Ryu, Evil Ken, that came out for the new Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Their Ryu becomes brown and Ken becomes like a off gray. You know, they become darker people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they show, like, Mulan, and the villain Mulan's, like, a gray-skinned, like, dark person. Like, all these examples, like, oh my god, he's right. Evil does equate to darker than white skin.
Yeah. Or if they're going to do it, at least make it obviously, like, black dark, like, I'm, like, a shadow creature or some shit like that.
His suggestion, actually, I think is more elegant, is, it's like, if you're going to make evil, make them blue. You know, make them, like, a non-natural skin tone color.
All the bad guys are sorry. It's true. Like Smurfs. It's...
Yeah.
Fucking Smurfs are going to kill us all.
They really will.
Is there a new Smurfs movie coming out?
It came out. It's called Smurfs Lost Village. It was
It was something I saw commercials for and then heard nothing, which means it did bad.
It was a sequel,
actually. It didn't do terribly, just not as good as they hoped.
Yeah. Like, anytime you hear about a movie and then it just goes dead silent after it releases, you probably don't want to go see the movie.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that didn't do as well as people had hoped, I Am Setsuna's developers. I Am Setsuna didn't do as well as.
I figured by your tie-in.
Their devs are doing the new RPG, and that's coming out. That's going to be coming out to Nintendo Switch and PS4 and Steam. It's called Lost Sphere. Because it's Sphear. Yeah. Right? I don't know why they felt like they had to spell it like that. I mean, the promotional image has, like, a white moon. So why couldn't it just been regular sphere? It does have an interesting premise, though. It's, essentially, it's an RPG, of course. They're an RPG. Their development team is called RPG Factory. It's an RPG. That's all they're gonna make. And it's, the premise is you're living in a world that's essentially slowly erasing it, being erased.
Yeah.
So the whole point of the game is trying to reclaim the world, and people are like, you know, like, people's parents and family members are, like, just disappearing into mists. It's basically the beginning threat of Infinite Crisis. There's just this white entity, energy, that's just making things disappear and delete itself, and you're fighting that off. I think that's actually a great concept, because then the conceit of, like, oh, now there's stronger enemies in this part, even though the other people here aren't strong enough to compete with these enemies. Now this is like, oh, now you've unlocked this area, and this area had stronger enemies in it that had also disappeared. Now they're not disappeared, or whatever. I think it's a very cool mechanic for having stuff like that happen.
I'll see. Do we know what type of RPG it's going to be? Is it a good old turn-based, or is an action RPG?
It looks turn-based. It looks,
I miss turn-based.
There's actually a lot of good turn-based games out there. Huh. Yeah, it's still a thing. It's still a lot, my friend.
It's just not the big releases anymore.
Yeah, people want that. I mean, really, as far as RPGs, the big releases are,
this one's turn-based?
Yeah. Okay. The big releases are Western RPGs, which are Fallout, Skyrim, Mass Effect. Yeah, RPG in
the West. I would call those D&D RPGs.
Right, which is where they all essentially, where all RPGs really came from.
Yeah.
Those were the first RPGs, not Japanese RPGs as we know them. They were all based off games like Wizardry and Dungeons and Dragons, Eye of the Beholder, and stuff like that. But yeah, this is a turn-based RPG. I Am Setsuna was a lot of people compare it to Chrono Trigger and its battle system and stuff like that. This looks very similar, where your positioning on the grid determines how many enemies you can hit and stuff like that.
I remember seeing that the Setsuna game looked pretty, but I didn't really see a lot of... I didn't look into it, because it really wasn't my type of game for the most part.
Yeah, she doesn't like RPGs either. They're too slow for her.
There's so many RPGs that have so much unnecessary talking.
Unnecessary. Oh, you. This is the genre of talking. That is like 90% of an RPG. The pan mechanic, almost not non-important.
It's the adventure that matters.
I've played a few RPGs that I didn't get to the end because I got bored, where the worlds were not very well fleshed out and the characters weren't that interesting, and you'd fight. And then you'd spend half an hour clicking through dialogue, and then you go into a tiny fight, and then you just click through a bunch more dialogue, and the characters just had no character to them.
Okay, now I'm very curious to what you're talking about, because the only RPGs I've seen you play are Ni No Kuni and Grandia. Which is amazing.
God, Grandia is a great series.
So what RPGs are you talking about?
I don't know, there was something on your PSP. I don't know what it was. It was under the emulator. It had robots in space or something.
Oh, the Zone of the Enders. Yeah, that's not an RPG. That's a turn-based strategy game.
Okay, it's still really boring. Really boring. And also, you can't tell if the character's a guy or a girl.
It is a niche title.
They were, like, flirting with
everybody. Are you assuming it's gender?
No, you look at the image of a girl, and then it flirted with the other thing, and then it flirted with the other thing, and you're just going,
Mass Effect, cool.
I don't know. Yeah.
I flirt with everything I could.
Have you not seen Japanese drawing styles? Everything has to look like a girl.
Yeah, it's just confusing.
One must be aroused by everything that happens in Japanese animation.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's why there's that. That's why there's a cooking manga and anime drawn by a hentai guy.
Really?
Yeah. It's not actually a hentai, but like when they eat the we're gonna eat this meal, we're gonna have like an orgasmic reaction to it.
Is that the Food Wars one? Or whatever? Okay. That's done by a hentai guy.
Yeah. Right? It's so stupid. I love it.
It's pretty good. Yeah. I was gonna say there's also that anime. There's a couple animes that one of them is a workout anime. Where you watch the girls, it's supposed to be like, you know, like American workout stuff, right? It's like, oh, yeah. Like, I'm going to work out on the TV and you're going to follow the routine I give you and stuff like that. Except
Taibo. Got it.
Yeah, Taibo.
Yeah.
Except it's anime girls, you know, emphasis on Moe. And, you know, they're doing their workouts with, like, you know, the camera, like, behind them while they're doing, like, push-ups. And you're like, oh, no, that's a butt shot. Like,
so
this
when they're
is my workout routine?
So when you're done with the workout routine, you just have one really big, beefy arm.
And there's another one, too, that, like, I suppose it's all in first person. I actually watched an episode. I was like, this is weird enough to intrigue me to watch an episode. And it's, like, all first person. It's kind of like, you know, a love story. Like, oh, you meet a girl. You move in the new apartment complex, and you meet a girl there or whatever. Yeah. It's all in first person.
Like, short, like, 10-minute episodes or something.
Yeah,
right?
They're short 10-minute episodes. I was like, all right, this is kind of interesting, like, you know, a purely POV, like, anime. I haven't seen that before.
Yeah.
But then they do cuts. And I was like, it's a weird POV thing, but now, like, I'm walking up the stairs, and now, like, I'm seeing her from the front, but I'm like, I didn't walk around her. They're just doing cuts. So I'm like, well, no.
Yeah.
No. You know, it does also have a really weird pervy vibe to it.
Weird!
Yeah.
Is it like in Metal Gear Solid VR missions when you got to unlock how close you got to the ladies when you took pictures of them?
I didn't actually play VR missions, so I didn't know that was the thing.
Mm-hmm. The more missions you... So you started out, your reward was one of the main females from the game was doing something in the middle of this area. You had a camera, you could go around her and take pictures, and then for every so many missions you complete, you can get closer and closer and closer.
That makes so much more sense with Metal Gear Solid 4 against the Patriot. Because every time you beat one of the...
The more I hear about this game, the more I realize he's got some really dumb things in it.
At the end of each of the... Hideo Kojima. He puts this in all his games. It's fantastic. When you beat one of the beasts, you know, it kind of goes in that white room, and if you take out, like, the iPod and start playing music, they'll start dancing, and if you take out the camera, they'll start posing for you and stuff like that, or you just shoot them with your guns or tranquilizers to finish the fight.
Yeah, cool.
Who does that? You can have them dance.
That's only if you're playing the bard.
It's the closest we Americans can get to legal adult video games.
that aren't either censored out or, you know, just subtitled the whole time in some terrible rip from some visual novel.
Or aren't from, like, some flash animation site like Newgrounds.
Or all of the hentai games on Steam. Don't ask me how I know this. All the hentai games on Steam.
I forgot that they started putting them out, yeah.
But all of the scenes that the reason you play a hentai game is to see the titties, it's all cut out.
What?
In all the games. Yeah.
Okay, then is it really a hentai?
No. Oh, I'm not gonna lie, I have played a couple.
Will anybody be willing to admit they bought that game?
No.
And complain about it?
Well, yeah, no, because they're patches.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. There's patches here for the sensor. I'm not going to lie. I have played hentai games in my day. I think the biggest draw, obviously, was that it was the only way I could experience a dating sim.
Yeah.
For the longest time, because that was a genre.
Either that, or you had to replay Thousand Arms.
Never actually got around Thousand Arms. It's on my list of, like...
I never beat it, but it was fun. Just because you had to go on dates with the girls, and then how well you did on the dates. Like, they would just ask you a question. You can answer one of three, like, two or three ways, and however you answered, like, it was either good or bad. And then they would help you. They would stand there, like, as you forged your weapons, and the happier they were with you, or the more in love they were, the stronger your weapons were.
You do realize that these are just logic puzzles under a very weird
skin,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, yeah.
So, you're telling me there's a huge population of people who actually like logic games, but have no clue that they actually like logic games.
No, it's more memorization games, because they tell you something you have to remember, and like, when they eventually ask you about that one thing, you have to, that was the answer. Yes. And it's more like, well, what happens if I go to the high school at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Oh, I run into this person.
Yeah.
And figuring out the patterns and stuff like that, yeah.
Then why do people get mad at me when I play games where you have to do stuff like that just without
because
the
you can't have an argument girls. On the internet about who's best girl in your games.
It's true.
Best girl is all important.
Most of the games I play don't have girls in them.
And there you go.
See, we are part of the gender revolution in video games. and you're in the past.
No, I play German children's point-click adventure games.
There was a lot for children. Those are too depressing for children.
What, Night of the Rabbit?
No, Whisper World.
Whisper World? No, that's a children's game.
Deponia. I have that, I think.
Really good. There's four games now.
Yeah.
I think it was part of a Steam sale. Is that on Steam?
Yeah.
Then I
have it. The one came out last year or something, but I haven't made it through the third one yet, so.
Nice.
I think you would like Whisper World over Deponia. I think it relates to people of our generation. So the main character hates himself, and he thinks that everything is his fault. And everybody tells him it's his fault.
Okay, right, cool. The main character is a 12-year-old depressed clown.
Jester.
That's great.
Jester. It's amazing.
Okay, I'm down.
Yeah. It is point-and-click adventure, but...
Yeah, if you're going to play it on Steam, and play the special edition because you get achievements.
Nice. I really like achievements.
Yeah, when they released it, it didn't have achievements. And then they released that special edition, and anybody who bought the game originally just got special edition. But you didn't automatically
get
the achievements.
Oh,
so now I'm working my way back
suck.
To get them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been trying to... I decided it's very possible for me to get the platinum on Mass Effect Andromeda.
I love games that are actually possible.
Yeah. I always jump in between two games. So right now my two games are Mass Effect Andromeda and Infamous First Light. Oh. Infamous First Light, it's kind of doable, but you have to grind and grind and practice and practice.
You gotta play,
and
you
practice
gotta play both
and
good in the dark.
No, First Light is the DLC.
Oh, the
standalone
DLC.
Yeah, but this one you have to get like 200,000 points in the battle arena, and it just like I was at 75,000? I was like, oh, I'm just being murdered everywhere I go. Okay.
Mm.
Wow. But for this one, it's like almost doable, and there's some glitches. That's something I want to talk about. Like, when we're done with the news, I want to talk about the...
Oh, talk away. Glitches. Talk away.
Okay, so... God damn ass... Oh, that's some news I read. I'm not sure if you've talked about it before, because the game has been out for a while, but it seems like there's no plans for a Mass Effect Andromeda 2.
I would understand that. It got destroyed on the internet.
But the thing is, I like
the
story.
It looks plastic, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like the Infamous First Light looks so much better as a game. Like it looks beautiful compared to this. Like Mass Effect Andromeda, with the way it looks, should have been able to be released on the PS3 with those graphics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the game was still, and it's still buggy to this day.
Yeah.
And because there's this mission I was trying to complete. This door won't open until you kill everyone. Someone spawned on the other side of the door.
Yeah.
And so I left, came back, and every time he spawned on the other side of the door, then I learned that there's a class in the game. So I went up back to the ship, redid all my points, so I can get this certain class. I can shoot through walls. I killed them. But there are other ones where the like the it just super glitches, and I've had to redo missions a bunch of times. And that really bothers me that they put out this game before it was ready.
Yeah.
And I think that...
I feel like there's been a fair number of games recently that have come out definitely, like, have been pushed back, but then still come out before they're ready to actually be out. And it's not just the day one patches, it's, like, you know, year two patches that suddenly fix something that's been broken.
Yeah. And I think the game would have been, even with the graphics, even with the weird character designs, I think it would have been, like, a lot of positive reception if they didn't have all those bugs. And so now I'm getting attached to the characters, to Billiam Ryder.
Nice.
Who looks like super Asian me, because I couldn't do a half Asian. It was either you're super Asian, like, oh, so sorry, I have to save the world. Or white-ass Billiam, so I had to, you know, I choose Asian. So I'm getting all attached to him and these characters, like banging all the like certain characters just to try and get an achievement that I didn't get.
Oh, those are the worst.
And I went online and everyone said, oh yeah, I did this, and this, and I got the achievement. And I'm like, I did that too.
That's what I hate is when you go online and check, it's like the achievement tells you exactly what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You do it in the game, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You check online, everyone says, oh no, it works. And you go, what's wrong with my copy?
Yeah, exactly.
Or I hate in games where it's like, you know, like, kill two berserkers next to each other. You go in the game, you kill two berserkers next to each other, and it's like, oh, the trophy didn't pop, like, and let me check it out. And you check it out, it's like, oh, well, technically, this person's, like, a boss character, so they don't count as a berserker. And I'm like, what? No. Give me the damn trophy. Especially when there's a very specific, like, you know, like, very specific scenario trophies, too. You know, and something like that happens, like, I don't have any personal experience with this that I can think of off the top of my head, but I can think of some trophies that, like, if I really tried to go after them, they would drive me mad. Like, Farpoint, the VR game, has a trophy where they have a sniper rifle gun, essentially. Mm-hmm. And it's like, one of the trophies is shoot a sniper round that kills three targets. One round, it goes through all three targets. I'm like, how many times do I see three targets lined up in a row since I've beaten this game? None. What?
Most of the time, it's like, when you have multiple targets that might possibly line up, it seems to be, like, a bunch of the smaller spiders, which would be a pain to get them to stay still long enough to actually shoot them.
Well, you'd have to have them all jump at you, because you can't shoot them at the ground level and then have the bullet ricochet across. Yeah. They'd all have to be jumping at you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably the best scenario is having a spider jump at you while there's a glob-throwing spider behind it and a bigger spider behind that. That was probably the best case scenario for that trophy pinging. But... It's such a specific scenario.
Yeah.
I mean, on the other hand, it's always amazing when you manage to get one of those insane trophies and you're just like, I did what?
Yeah. How did I do this? Yeah.
Like, I was just shooting everything that was there. What happened?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Okay. I can do that now.
Yeah. I like trophies are challenging. Like, really, like, challenge me, make me earn it. But at the same time, if it's so out there, I'm like, well, I don't even want to try.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I got the platinum to Bloodborne. Nothing in that game is completely undoable. It's time-consuming. It doesn't, you know, involve some skill, but you can grind your way to a point where you can competently take care of any of these situations. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with trophies like that where it's like, all right, I just have to put some work in.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the getting the platinum for, Destiny's Path of Stories. You literally have to play through that game multiple times to unlock everything. And you get a trophy for unlocking everything. But it's doable. It just took me like a month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I to get that trophy I missed, luckily I save so much that I remember at the point where I chose which romantic interest I was going with. So I can just go back there and go the other one. It'll still count as one playthrough because people have done this online.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. I did that with Bloodborne, actually. I created a save file. Because you have to get all three endings, which means playing the game three times. Or you create a save file before you do any of the endings, and you just do an ending, delete your save, re-download your save file, do another ending,
nice.
Rinse, repeat, until you get all three endings.
Yeah. I really wish I could do that for Limbo, but Limbo auto-saves.
Yeah.
Because Limbo is one of those games where I really feel like I could eventually, I don't know if it even has a platinum, could eventually finish it, you know, get all the trophies. But you have to play through the entire game with five or less deaths in one shot.
Wow.
And it's, I'm not good at platformers.
I wouldn't even call that a good platformer.
No, it's very, it's, the platforming is not great on that game.
Yeah. It was really an atmospheric game than anything.
Really cool game.
Yeah.
But it's, I got all those, a bunch of the secret stuff. I think that's the only one I need to do is not die.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's going to take me forever. Like, that and Unravel. On Unravel, the only thing I need to do is not die. But that one, at least, you can do it level by level.
Limbo, so if you look up the guide, they'll say get good?
Yeah.
Pretty much, okay. Yeah. And Limbo, or Unravel, at least, it's each stage. So I can, you know, if I die, I just reload that chapter. But Limbo, you have to start over at the very beginning if you die. If you die more than 5 times.
Yeah. Balls.
Speaking of trophies, there's one thing that I think needs to happen going forward with trophies. I'm tired of games like my Last of Us and my Uncharted forcing me to play the multiplayer to get my Platinum Trophy.
Destiny.
Fucking hate that.
Because eventually what's going to happen is I'm not going to be able to play the multiplayer to get my trophy. There has to be a separate trophy list. There has to be, just play the single player game, and this will get you a Platinum. If you're really dedicated to multiplayer, you know, maybe you can get 10 golds or maybe a Platinum if it's really multiplayer intensive, like Call of Duty or something like that. There has to be separate.
Yeah. Like you said, like after a while you won't be able to do it, because that's my problem with Overwatch. Like, I loved that game, but I went so long without playing because I didn't have good internet, that now that I got back, I'm like, oh, everyone is so much better than me, and anyone my level is a Smurf? Where they're really good people who either got banned or just started a level 1 character just to be a dick to new people.
Mm. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about just, like, the developers the server will eventually be gone.
Okay, I get that, yeah.
And, like, they don't just automatically ping trophies for anybody that plays the game when that happens. It's like, no, you just can't get that Platinum now.
Like, so if you are a latecomer to a game and then it has multiplayer stuff and you want those trophies, the server might be gone.
Yeah.
Like,
sucks.
Like, there are actual games this has already happened to. There are games that you cannot get all the trophies in because the server's dead. That's it.
Man. That's actually something I'm glad Mass Effect did, because if I wanted to, I could do it all in single player. It's just a lot harder.
Yeah.
But I have been playing online, and it's... I like it because you're all on the same team and no one can talk. I'm loving it, because I'm like, oh, did I just screw up? You're mad at me? I could tell because you're jumping around me. I don't care. Go move around.
That's pretty much how I like to play with people. It's not, it's, unless I've gotten to know them, like, if I'm, Destiny's example, if I'm doing a strike and it's got two other random people, I don't know them, I'm fine just not talking, just ignoring them, doing my own thing, completely ignoring the quest and going my own way, and then coming back and helping. But, I don't want to talk to them. I don't want them to know I'm a girl.
I feel for you.
Yeah. So that's been the news for the day, is that obviously Sony is continuing its trend of doing its E3 experience, where they rent out theaters so people can go watch the E3 reveal in various cities around the world, around the U.S. I think certain places in other countries as well, like South America, I think has a couple. Again, these tickets are free. Tickets are already available by the time you're hearing this podcast, so you can check to see what cities are playing in over on the PlayStation website. And see if you want to try to grab a ticket. They might already be gone by the time you hear the podcast. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. But it's essentially, you're just watching the E3 conference in the theater on the big screen. Nice. And maybe you get a couple extra goodies, like a card. Yeah. Their trading cards or something like that. And they had a chance to do it. They do it in San Francisco, but... Eh, I don't know if I want to go through all the trouble.
Tuesday?
Just
Tuesday? Wednesday?
Yeah, it's like on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Next year would be nice to plan it. Like, that. Like, okay, we...
Yeah.
Like, there's a hotel, we have a room, we already go up there, we have other things planned. Like, we go to the Metreon for a movie, we go to Japantown, eat food there.
Japantown.
Or we go,
to the 4-story tall bookstore near Union Square.
That place.
Oakland to get some bomb vegan food.
Yes.
I thought you meant shot. Okay.
No, there is a cafe in Oakland that is 100% vegan, and they have things like tiramisu cake and Claire's.
Nice.
And they call themselves a bakery, coffee shop, chocolatier.
I'm down.
It's a wonderful place.
I will stuff that in my face. Maybe even get some in the mouth.
Oh, get that sound clip for the internet. Star Trek Bridge Crew is now being included with HTC Vives.
Okay.
That's a new game that actually just came out recently. You know, it's basically Artemis Space Bridge Simulator, but with official Star Trek licensing.
Nice.
You actually, if you, there's a mode you can play where you actually play in the original Star
Enterprise.
Enterprise, yeah, thank you. Where it has like, it's just a wall of buttons. And you can turn, you can hit a button so the, it'll tell you what the buttons do. Otherwise, it's just a wall of buttons.
That's awesome.
And it is a thing where, like, if you were playing, because it's a VR game, you look to the person on your left, whatever they were doing, you would see them hitting a wall of buttons.
But it's essentially Artemis without using your own imagination.
Yeah.
Without the need to actually dress up in costumes.
Yeah, one of these days we actually have to play Artemis. We bought the official release after playing the demo and saying this is really fun.
Yeah, and we have enough devices.
Well, you can play online. You can play online. You don't have to play all in one room.
No, I'm just saying, like,
we just have to find people that actually don't mind just playing it online and not playing it all in one room, because that's difficult to do. Let's do the Uncle Gamer's question of the week.
Oh, dear. I know it was my question. I push exclusively
Load.
Play games with good stories, so...
This one was actually really tough for me.
Dude, speaking of questions of the week, all your questions of the week on Future Flicks are really tough for me.
Let's see, this... Oh, I actually got an answer this week.
Classical music one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thing is, I listen to a lot of classical music, so I have, like, my top 10 favorite classical pieces. I know, in theory, they've probably been used in movies.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I've ever seen those movies.
Yeah.
So I could pick out the music and go, I don't like the movie.
Yeah.
But it's like, well... Then I'm just saying I like classical music. So, I don't know.
Whereas I have the other aspect where I watch movies, I notice the music while I'm watching it, but I'm not the type of person like, well, I gotta go pick up that soundtrack.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, yeah, I had a good music, and I forget about it. Like, I forget about the movie over time. So I'm like, what movies have I seen with what would be considered a classical score?
Oh, you love bottle caps. They love bottle caps.
So the question was, what game...
Is it okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
...has your favorite story? I didn't see any responses. I saw that Solo sent me a link to the Netflix reveal of Castlevania that they're doing.
That looks good.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's supposedly going to be his response for the question of the week. He didn't tag under the question of the week, so I'm not entirely sure, but we'll just go with that. Castlevania, which is a good story. Let me check the Face of the books. There we go. We do have one comment.
I'm actually just loading up the list of my... You know, top 50 games, just to read through really quick.
I'm going to say my answer before you so I can steal it. Alright, so Mr. Loki writes in to say, that's tough. I enjoy the Jak and Daxter trilogy and Fallout New Vegas.
Those are really good.
Yeah, those are really good. So I'm going to go first, because I don't want her to steal my answer.
Alright.
Because we had a caveat that I cannot say Lunar. I cannot say Spec Ops: The Line, because I talk about those games too much.
And I can't say any of the missed games.
She can't say the missed games.
Jeff couldn't say, what was it, Final Fantasy VII or whatever it was?
No, I think it was Chrono Trigger or something like that.
Because when it comes down to like favorite game things,
they
those
could
ones,
fall into a lot
those ones always get
yeah.
listed.
Yeah. So, with those excluded, I'm going to go with Everyone's Gone to the Rapture.
Oh, that's a good one.
Exactly. That
oh,
is a good one.
Oh.
It's very captivating. You play a nameless character, and you're figuring out why everybody just disappeared from this town by seeing segments of, like, the past. Now, you haven't even seen it. You're just voiceovers with, like, a light kind of mimicking what position they were in when they were talking and stuff like that. It's very captivating. And it's a game where you can miss parts of the story, so repeated playthroughs could be rewarding for you.
Yeah.
Like, I missed a part of a story and stuff like that. You have to actually hunt out where these story segments happen. To actually get all the stories and stuff like that.
It also has some of the most difficult, like, as far as just for a game where you literally just wander around and look at things, some of the most difficult trophies to get, because there's, like, 31 just books laying around the world.
Yeah.
And you have to look at every single one of them in order to get one of the trophies, but there's no indicator that you've looked at one.
Yeah.
So you have to remember if you've looked at it, it's, yeah, you have to find them, you have to look at all them.
Yeah.
There's, like, multiple trophies that are like that.
But the thing is you get to experience this town as a town itself. You get to understand, it's a small town, small, like, English town.
Yeah.
That it's set in. So you get to experience, like, the day-to-day affairs of this town, essentially, stuff like that. While one or two characters start to unravel because they know what's coming and what's happening to the town and stuff like that. Well, so them trying to set things up and get people to safe places without freaking out people and stuff like that. It's a very interesting story as well put together. I think it's a... I forget what the studio that made it, but if it's on PS4, definitely if you haven't played it,
it's worth a pickup. I really wish you could play in VR.
Yeah, I can see that game
would be like, it's already pretty much designed for it.
What was it called again?
Everyone's Gone to the Rapture. It's kind of creepy and atmospheric because you're just in this empty town. You know something's happened, right?
Yeah, you know something's happened, but you don't know what.
All right. I had to think about what games I replayed the most, and then also why did I do it? Mm. Gameplay or story, and the ones I came to were Final Fantasy VII.
Right.
Because that's my, I mean, sorry, Final Fantasy VIII.
Oh.
Because VIII's my favorite.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's some troubled waters.
I will defend VIII until I die. Probably killed by VII fans because they can't handle the truth that VIII was a better game.
Ooh! But... Remember, if you want to yell at him, you can hit him up on Future Flicks.
Future Flicks, tweet me, Billiam, SWN. Email me, BilliamReviews@gmail.com, and bring it. Another one is the original. I really liked the second group of Dot Hack games, but the first group of Dot Hack games.
Oh, yeah.
Were great. The first group. Like, the gameplay for the next one, for the second group, was better.
Mm-hmm.
But the story for the first one was best.
Yeah, I would say that it's true also for the anime in general. But the Dot Hack games. Yeah. I mean, those are games that the gameplay, the mechanics just aren't there. There's you walk and hit X.
Yeah,
walk and hit X. That's all you're doing pretty much. But the story is so good. I mean, it's a trope that's really played out now, especially if you watch anime and stuff like that. Like, oh, you're stuck in the video game world. It's a very played out trope now, but back when those games came out, it was so very fresh.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were doing it.
Exactly.
And then they actually gave you the game itself to play.
Yeah.
It was great. And they made it seem like a fake MMO. Like, people would just kind of drop in, and they'd have their little lines that they would say, and they have their characteristics and stuff
you
like that.
You could trade with other characters and get stuff like, oh, I really want this equipment. Okay, I'm at this right level now, so people are going to start carrying this. Okay, talk to you. Do you have it? Do you have it? Do you have it? And go searching around. Jump to a different city. Do you have this?
Like, I would create random maps to just jump in, run to the dungeon real quick, see if I find a good item and stuff like that. The game was engaging, and the story, oh, God.
Beat the final dungeon. You know, you could beat the game.
Like level 99 dungeon?
Just because I don't know how you're supposed to get rid of your corruption.
I think you're supposed... Oh, no. You have to limit how much corruption.
Because you couldn't go past the level unless you data drain the bugs in there.
Right.
Data drain bugs gets you corrupted. Corruption kills you.
Yeah, I think there's like a... I feel like there were some levels that would, like, you would reset, like, every 10 levels or something like that, but you had to, like, it was a gauntlet of trying to get through it. I think there were some corrupted enemies that you could eventually just kill without having to data drain them. I think that was part of it, too, but it's kind of like a time-consuming thing. That is a franchise that, I would love for them to just come out with an HD compilation.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to buy them now. They were expensive.
Yeah.
They're expensive still.
Yeah. And do you have your 50 list of 50 games?
Yeah, I have... Well, it's actually... Apparently it's 100 games, because apparently I've played more than 50 games in my life. So...
I believe this.
It would have been Ni No Kuni, except I haven't actually finished that game. So I'm going to say...
So you're saying you can't... You
I'm
can't
not
say
gonna
it until...
I'm going to list it because I haven't actually finished the game. Which... So I'm going to say Child of Light.
Oh, I love that game.
That is probably one of the most beautiful stories I've played.
Yeah.
Like, at least recently enough for me to remember it. But like I said, I mostly play games with, to be honest, heart-wrenching, depressing stories. It's, oh, my phone's going off.
Oh yeah, tweet.
Okay. Tweet worked. But like the games I play are usually about, you know, a young protagonist and they're trying to figure out why their world is dying or why their parents are missing. Or,
yeah.
And it usually ends up to be like these really good stories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like a lot of them are very similar. A fair amount of them are done by the same studios, but it's gonna have to be childlike because that one's just that one. You know, all the characters you get to play play with or play as have character development and work well together.
Right.
I'm not gonna spoil the story because you have to play it.
I mean, there are a lot of games that I think have good plot twists that make the story kind of redeeming. But I think the games we've listed are probably games that just stand... You don't have to have a plot twist because the stories are that good. I think one game I can think of where has a good plot twist that makes the story... Or, you know, it's a plot twist where you're like, oh, what? Yeah. No way. Like, Second Sight on the PlayStation 2 was a game that did that to me. Second Sight. It was kind of like it went under the radar. You know, it came out at the same time as a very similar game that got a lot more press. But I think Second Sight was a better game. But it's like, you know, when those your character has, like, you know, psychic powers now and stuff. Like, it's a shooter where your character has psychic powers. So, like,
Fear was the other one that came out, or was it?
No. Fear was great. Fear was awesome as a shooter. No, it was it was another PlayStation game that was on PlayStation 2 that might have been on other consoles, I remember. But PsyOps, I think. PsyOps.
Oh, PsyOps? Yeah.
Yeah, right. I think that's what
we don't usually do this. Do we have any honorable mentions for this, since it's one that probably have multiple choices?
That I can't pick Spec Ops and Lunar. It would probably be something I've played on a handheld, I would say. Oh, Crisis Core. Obviously.
God, damn, that one was good.
So good.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Mine is Valiant Hearts.
I thought that's where you're gonna go. I
think everybody should play that because nobody ever actually bothers to study World War One anymore. And World War One is amazing.
Yeah.
That game is legitimately a history lesson. Like you'll find an item, and then you can go to the menu and just like read this whole huge page write up about like here's the type of helmets they wore and here's why they were like this and here's this actual like historic article about it.
Nice.
Like I'm playing a video game that's actually making me learn. I miss this.
For me, I think I'd have to say, oh, Jesus, what, where'd the name go? It just left my head.
That'd be a good name for a video game. Be.
It's an RPG, Japanese RPG with anime-looking characters, but you can only fight on going back and forth like that on a 2D plane.
The world ends with you.
I feel like that describes a fair amount of things.
Yeah. Persona's really good too. But no, it's I remember you're Lloyd was the main character's name. You had dual swords you carried around. Everyone prayed to the god Martell, and that was part of the story.
Dear listener, if you know what game he's talking about,
or we can use magical pocket computer.
Martell.
You need to update my list of games.
I don't think I've played the game where everybody prays to a god Martell. Dual Sword. Xenogears was too weird, I think, in my opinion, to be included in the list.
Tales of Symphonia.
Oh, that's why I never heard of it. Because I never played a single Tales game. At least to completion.
Those are some games that always look interesting to me.
Although, a Tales game is one of the few games I've actually bought imported a copy of. Tales of... Xperia or something like that. One of the giant crossover Tales games.
Lloyd Irving was a character's name. That's for the GameCube. God, I miss the GameCube.
Yeah. It's also, you can pick that up on the PS4 now.
Really?
The re-release of the Symphonia games.
Done. I'm still kicking myself for not buying a GameCube when I saw it at a thrift store. But this was before I was like into console gaming, so I really didn't know what it was, really.
Yeah.
And...
What is this purple box?
It looked cool. I figured it was a video game device, but I didn't really play console games, so...
Yeah, and Levi had
GameCube. Oh, man, I'm kicking myself for that.
Yeah.
He had Phantasy Star Online. And he would never let me play the damn game because he wanted to play Smash Bros.
Yeah. Annoyed me, but it was his there console. Were nights where we all hung out and played Phantasy Star, but then eventually turned into Smash Bros.
Yeah.
Every night. Every night we hung out.
I remember the single greatest memory I have, or not greatest, but single biggest memory I have of his GameCube and his love for Smash Bros. So he was asleep, and I couldn't sleep. I was spending at his house, and I just couldn't sleep that night. And he was passed out. So I just kind of quietly, I just walked over to the GameCube, switched Phantasy Star into the thing, and, you know, turned off the volume of the game, so it was just playing there.
Yeah.
I kid you not, like 15 minutes into me playing, I just hear him turn that shit off and put Smash Bros. Back in. I was like, you just woke up to yell at me for not having Smash Bros. In your GameCube.
I remember when the Game Boy Advance first came out. He got one. He saved up money and got one. And I wanted to get one, so I was like he left the house because I was hanging out with his older brother.
Yeah.
And he said, "Hey, no one touches this." And so he left. I'm like, "Okay, whatever." So I picked it up. I started checking it out, and then so I put it back right where it was. So it comes back. So like later in the day, he comes back in. He's like, "That was turned a little." It's like, who picked it up?
Oh man! Well, that's gonna be it for this episode.
Question. Oh, quick new question. Oh, yes.
Question of the week. I tweeted it out already. I forgot to say.
Yeah, you gotta say it though.
The question of the week ties in with the entire theme of next episode. Obviously, E3 is happening like the 11th and 12th and stuff like that. Check your schedules. It's happening starting on the weekend with Microsoft and Bethesda and stuff like that, and feeding into the week with Sony.
And we all know that Nintendo. The Ubisoft thing will be really, really weird.
With Aisha Tyler.
Because it's always really, really weird.
With Aisha Tyler. So the question of the week is going to be, what are your E3 predictions? Because we want to make sure we get those in next episode and not the episode after when E3 has already happened. Yeah. So write us at Uncore Gamers on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. Or you can send us an email at uncoregamers@gmail.com.
We technically have a Google Plus account, though nobody was ever responding on there, so I just stopped maintaining it.
So don't go there. Nobody checks.
I check it once a week.
But let us know what your E3 predictions are for any of the major developments. As per tradition, we will come up with 3 to 5 predictions for each of the major companies, each of the major console manufacturers, Nintendo, PlayStation, and Microsoft. But that is mostly what we cover.
The number one Nintendo prediction. They won't be there.
It can't be a prediction if they already confirmed it.
Hey, so we have. They usually say no, and then just put out YouTube videos.
So we have our 5 predictions for each of those companies, and we also have our drop the mic moment. That if they were to announce this announcement, they win E3, or this is something we really want them to do, but that probably won't happen. But if they did it, oh my god!
All right.
I don't know if they can do.
Also,
that
I will make announcements for Sega, because they did announce that they are looking at bringing out some games for some older franchises, and I want to take a stab. Which I assume they'll announce what those franchises are at E3. I'm going to take a stab at 3 franchises I think they're going to revive based off their statements.
Alright. And remember, if any of your predictions have anything to do with any Valve, anything Valve and number 3, make sure you type it with the tears that fall from your face. Because that's the only way it's going to be accepted here.
Again, you can catch Bill! Yum! Over at Future Flicks on the SomewhatNerdy.com website.
And the Somewhat Nerdy Podcast Network.
There you go. All those things on the All iTunes. Give him those 5 stars. He loves them.
Give the Uncore Gamers 5 stars.
What? I don't know what to do with the stars.
Have we done stars?
Yeah.
We have?
Wow. You have like 3 or 4?
Can we just click like on people who give us stars, or is that bribing?
That's not iTunes. You can't do that with iTunes. I don't think.
Yeah, you can. What you can do is if they leave a.
See, I'm just confused because Netflix used to be stars and now it's likes. So, I don't know what to do when a movie's just meh.
Yeah.
It's not like I don't like bad because maybe somebody likes. Like, it's not a bad movie. It's just not a good movie.
I didn't know what to do with Sandy Wexler. Because it wasn't terrible, it just wasn't good. It's like.
I saw A Secret Life of Pets. It's not a good movie. It's not a bad movie. It's not offensive. It's just not good.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, you know what movie's getting a sequel? Speaking of a weird idea for
Tron.
No. Boss Baby.
Yeah.
Boss Baby.
There he came out.
Killed it in the theaters. Yeah.
Yeah, Boss Baby was a huge hit in theaters, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Not
my type of movie. That's not it. Most people's type of movie.
Also, this week, Captain Underpants is the animated movie this week.
Ah, that actually has a big following as far as books are concerned. So
I think that, like,
yeah, but that has like a big following of like 25-year-olds. If you think of when those books came out.
Yeah, because like we just missed it.
Yeah.
Like we were just on the edge of it.
Yeah, it was like all the.
Although I have to say the
kids my age were into that stuff.
Yeah. Diary of Wimpy Kids. I missed that. I didn't read any of those books. Yeah. I was more my age group. But that first movie was actually pretty good.
I liked it. Yeah.
It was pretty funny. The second movie, whatever.
It's another movie.
But that first movie.
And the latest movie has none of the same cast returning.
Which makes sense, that.
Because, like,
the kids are older.
Yeah, everybody's grown up.
But the parents didn't even return. Steve Zahn didn't want to do it. It's, oh, what's the actor's name? I forgot the actor's name, but they were both in That Thing You Do together.
Mm. Did you see that the band actually got together at a live performance?
I was excited to see that.
Except for one of the members, I think. Oh, but one of the, they wore a mask to represent that guy. Yeah, that was awesome. I was like, oh, make more music, please.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Thanks for listening to episode 140 of Uncore Gamers. We'll catch you all next week for our E3 prediction show. And hopefully everybody will be able to make it.